Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in. Yes, Sages, we're live. What's good?
Recording.
Yeah, actually, not a test this time.
No, we're actually in. What's good, brothers? How are you?
Yeah, fine, a good
surviving
fight.
Surviving the times?
Yourself.
What does surviving the time? What does the fight surviving the times mean? I feel like that's a term that you use and it doesn't really give enough depth to understand how you're doing, you know?
What, surviving the times?
Yeah. I feel like it's like when someone says, are you good? And you're like, yeah, I'm good. Or I'm okay. And then you ask, oh, how was your day? And they tell you about terrible things that happened. And it's like, well, are you okay?
For me, it's just not dead yet. Like, I guess the starting point is I'm alive, huh? And that's always a good thing. So, well, for now, who knows what it will be. But once I'm dead, I'm like, yo, this is way better. Who knows?
I guess we'll never know. Everybody wanted to know what it would be like if I didn't win a Grammy. I guess we'll never know. It's a Kanye. Kanye moment. A yay moment. AJ, wasn't it that you showed me that that new Kanye, that new yay song?
What's the name?
What's it called again?
Hail Hitler. Hail Hitler.
Oh boy.
That's a legit song.
The production on that.
I know you would say that. I'm not a big fan of this Hitler guy, but that yay.
No, the production is serious though.
Bloody hell!
The production is serious.
I mean, the biggest issue with that song for everyone, because it makes everyone feel uncomfortable, which I guess he's trying to do. But
that's what he's been doing.
The biggest issue with that song is it's a fucking banger.
I haven't heard it.
Hate it or love it, right?
I haven't heard it. I've heard that he's recounted a lot of stuff that he said after spending time with Adam Sandler at some basketball event, I believe. It might be something else, not what? A basketball event specifically.
I mean, I know Adam Sandler's Jewish, right?
Yeah. So he spent some time with Adam Sandler and that's kind of changed his mind a little bit. I was reading a TMZ article, so take from that what you will.
I'm not racist. My friend is black.
I'm not racist. No, I hang out with you. Like, I'm not racist. Or is it the realization that not all Jews are villains in his eyes? I don't know.
I think it's extremely hard to understand what that guy's thought process is in a lot of stuff. I think it's just communication, you know. Maybe what he's trying to communicate doesn't land in the way that people expect. Or it's all a ploy because it's marketing, right?
Yeah, it could be part of it. He almost gained success, the music side, of course. But then he's gained this infamy from all this wild stuff that he's doing. And he's just playing this character because that then feeds into whatever clothes he makes, whatever music he drops. Yeah, potentially. Currently.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a fine line where it becomes a bit self-destructive. I think there's a fine line where it becomes destructive. But I think he's also trying to define where that line is or redefine where that line is. Because I think people that are in those spaces at that stature, they've maybe had these types of boundaries pushed before or they've been at those boundaries. And I guess he just continuously wants to see how far he can push it.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. But I also do see some toys like for example, the whole thing with Adidas, like he just wanted to get out of his deal, let's be honest. And he did. He got out of it. You know, when you're signing all of those contracts and, you know, you have your 6-year deal, whatever, 360 business, like, you can't get out of those things unless you say something outlandish and the other party is the one that terminates it, right? So I feel like some of the stuff is like strategic. Okay, if I do something wild, there's no way they can stand with me. That means the deal we have is void, and that means I can now keep my thing independent. So I do think there's some strategy to it. But at the end of the day, you're playing a game, and it's a losing game. So it just depends how you want to play it. Do you take it seriously, or do you just play it for the fun? And I think he's playing it for the fun.
Mo, how are you? How's things on your side? And I see you said you got Matty with you. Yeah. Matty Westwood, Matty Rich, DJ, entrepreneur, the man.
Booker T impersonator. Sorry, brother. Say that one more time.
Booker T has locks, bro. Booker T has locks, bro.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I keep... I'm trying to imagine Booker T, and I'm like, I probably look more like Booker T.
Or did he have that unit, the horn, what's it called? Mohawk.
The Mohawk?
No, never. I
think that was somebody else. That was the guy that ate the worms. There was the guy that used to eat worms, right? What was his name? I feel like it was Mo something. Why?
Nah, I don't remember someone eating worms. The Boogeyman. I remember Rikishi.
I think they called him the Boogeyman. Oh, it was Stinkface. May his soul rest in peace.
Yeah, what an awful special meat to have.
And they got a fat ass though. God damn. That's the first time I knew what are those things called?
Dogs.
No. Not dogs. That's the first time I knew what cellulite was.
What color Rikishi? No.
Because of Rikishi's ass, yeah. I didn't know what I was like, why does his butt look like that?
AJ don't look impressed.
Hey, I'm just keeping it real, brothers. I'm just being honest. I was a young boy watching WWF.
Were you good? You guys good there?
Yeah, man. We're well. You know, it's a different pace of life. But it's really good because it allows space of the mind to really execute and plan. And that's the best thing for me, like positively. One thing that's interesting is, and we're talking about living in Scotland, right? One thing that's really interesting is the more and more time that I'm spending here and the more I'm engaging with like locals or maybe other people that have moved over here, there's an increasing community of black people that are like really coming up here and like trying to do something, you know? And again, opportunity-wise, I believe, or I feel personally, it's rife because there's now the market for it. So like there's a demographic, there's people, but there's not things that can cater to that demographic. So I do feel like there's a lot of opportunities and gaps where it's like, you know, whereas somewhere like, and I feel like it's the same in maybe other places in England, but less the cities. I feel like the cities normally are a bit oversaturated. With you basically do whatever you want or you can find whatever you want. It's not difficult. You go on TikTok, you go on Google, whatever you do. Whereas here, it's like needle in a haystack and you know what? You probably won't find what you're looking for because it's not been made yet or not been thought of here yet. So it's like an example here. I was getting my hair done and I was speaking to the girl while she was doing my hair and she's talking about, yeah, you know, opportunities and blah, blah, blah. And then she told me about, you know, it's funny, she had one of her friends that used to go to Manchester all the time just to go to get like a seafood boil, you know, those seafood boil restaurants. It's like she'd go to Manchester all the time. And then she just said to her friend one time, yo, listen, why don't you go there and like take pictures, see how they like do things, like look at the menu and kind of just see the setup and then just set your own one up here. And they did that and it's really successful. So I feel like, again, there's... If people are willing to make, you know, 5-hour journeys for seafood boil, they could have it on their doorstep and, you know, maybe pay you that money that they would have paid for the travel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's good up here, man. It's good. I can't lie. It's, for me, I don't see myself moving back to England. I much prefer it here. And things are just more relaxed. You know, we did a little disposable barbecue the other day, and it wasn't a case of, oh no, are we allowed to do the barbecue here? No, we just pulled up on the lock front by the coast, and we just lit the barbecue up and started chefing up the barbecue. We had the speaker playing some music, and people were walking past, and they weren't giving us these evil stares like, niggas. You know, they were like, oh, that looks so, smells delicious. What's that? Like, what's the seasoning? Walking past, this guy was doing running. He was like jogging. That guy came back and forth like four times. I don't know whether it was motivation he was looking for or whatever, but yeah, I just feel like it's more, the rules aren't as strict here, you know?
You know, I had a story, sorry to interject, I had a story today from Mum. Called Mum, just having a catch up, and she told me about your barbecue escapade, and she said that one woman was walking past, and she caught your eye. So obviously, I need you to validate this story, or if Mum was just embellishing it a little bit. But Mum said that you followed her.
You know that.
And try to get her number.
Mum's extra, bro. This situation, Mum was extra. Do you know
how she was? Let me finish. And then you can rebuttal, okay? Mum said that you followed her to the end of the lock. From where you were, you followed her to the end of the lock and said, oh, can I have your number? She says, have you been following me? And you said, yes, I have. Can I get your number? She said, no, I don't talk to strangers. Mum started cackling. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, did Mo do that? Sinbad.
I mean, can I just answer that real quick? Why wouldn't he do that? Some people have different things in life. Life is a gamble, you know? So it's a 50-50% chance that she would have said yes or no. He took the gamble. He lost. I think we're all familiar with losing sometimes.
Right? Yeah. Listen, have you ever seen a girl that you've wanted to talk to and you just go over and talk to her? That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
Mum's not privy to that source, you know? So, exaggerated, definitely, I would say that. Did I see her and did I say... And she was walking past. It's not like she was... Oh, she was walking. She was walking quick. On some sonic speed. Sonic speed!
Yeah, Mum did say
like,
that.
I said to her, I was like, bro, I'm not going to lie. I said, I'm not going to lie, bro. If you don't talk to that girl, I will. Because she looks really, really nice. Like, she's got this glow, this aura. And I said, yeah, I would like to maybe just talk to her. I didn't go over and say, can I have your number? That's not how I talk to girl. That's, you know, that's just not how I'm approaching someone. I walked. I said, hey, you right? And she's like, oh, hey. Because obviously she would have noticed that we were sitting where we were sitting when we were barbecuing. So I've just said, she said to me, oh, did you come from like down there? I said, yeah, I did. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, what's your name? You know, I'm not, what's your number? I'm like, what's your name? Where are you from? Like, we're having this conversation. She's obviously both walking whilst this is happening. And then I'm like, you know what? You're really cute. It would be nice to get your number. And she's like, I don't give it out to strangers. I was like, oh, that line. Okay. Well, either way, I really like your outfit. Have a nice day. And I just dip. And then Mum then calls me back like afterwards. And she's like, do you know the definition of what stalking is? I said, what? She's like, you know, that could be, there's serious consequences. I said, how is it stalking when I just walked over and said hi to someone? Like, what? That's different. Again,
yeah,
I'm not Diddy out here, bro.
The way Mum made it sound is that you basically chased this girl because she was walking so fast. You ran after her and tried to return the mat.
Bro, if you see something and you want to go get it,
you go get it.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you walk, run, or jog, or leap, or hop, or hop, skip. I even forgot about that. It's not that deep. I'm sure she forgot about it too. If she didn't, that's because she's in her feelings. She's like, damn, I made a mistake.
Yeah, maybe. She's full of regret. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't mind. If she's not, then it's also okay. I don't really care. That was like 2-3 days ago. The ball continues to evolve, man. But what did Michael Jordan say? You miss every shot you don't take.
Yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, Mum just saw me take a shot. That's all.
So if you came back with a number, how would the story have gone?
Yeah, exactly. If I came back with a number, it's a whole different ball game. You know, It's a whole different.
Mum would have said that you pressured her into giving you the number.
Yeah, mum would have said something. Mum doesn't know about the Black Dragon. Mum forgets that she was also caught by Janae, yeah? That's what mum forgets sometimes. She was also caught by the Janae Jamba. By the Janae Jamba. So it's okay. I get it.
Hold on. What would mum say you've been chasing us?
Me? Less chasing something. Perhaps throwing money in the bin. That's more accurate, I would say.
Oh, throwing money in the bin.
Yeah, what is
it? Yeah, in terms of chasing.
Why would you do that?
That's a good question.
Oz, how are you?
Fighting a good fight. Fighting a good fight. I fell off the horse, trying to be on the hero's path, and I'm on my way to getting back on that horse and sorting stuff out.
Yeah, well, I would very much like to explore that, and I'm hoping that's okay with you.
Yeah.
So,
I'll give a bit of background. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so this year, we'll say from January, we're currently in May, but maybe even before, you'll be able to confirm. But something started, like, I'm going to say we, and by we, I mean like the family, started to notice you kept asking people for money. And it was small amounts here and there, but it was consistent every week. So we'll, you know, obviously the family, everyone in the family is happy to help. So no one thought anything of it. But because it was consistent, first it started off with comments being made here and there by different family members. And, you know, it got to a point where the comments would lead to conversations. And everyone would be confused, like, yo, Osman actually earns a decent salary. So why is this guy always asking for money? It doesn't make sense. And then from conversations happening, what happened then was it became extended family would start to make comments and conversations. And Mo and I were discussing, like, something's not right. And we hadn't asked you at the time, but we were trying to figure it out before we would ask you, like, yo, is there a need to ask him if there's an issue? And, you know, it got to a point where it was very clear that we should ask you if there was an issue. So one time you sent a message to Mo and myself asking us both for money. And then I reply to you and say, hey man, something's not right, clearly. Are you gambling? Let's have a chat. And then you disappeared for like a month and a half. You didn't take no phone calls. You literally just turned ghost. So for me, at that point in time, I was like, yo, it's one of the three shinobi taboos. It's either gambling, drugs, or women. Yeah, we thought that there was an issue. We didn't know what the issue was. And then when you turned ghost, when I asked to talk to you, it was like, well, we have no idea what it could be. I mean, all the clues pointed to gambling. So I think we were all leaning towards that. And then after a month and a bit, you came back and you confirmed you have a gambling problem. So that's how it played out to me. Mo, I don't know if you want to add anything on your side or...
Yeah, I guess when we were initially having that discussion in terms of what could it be, I think the one thing that was poignant and clear to me was also understanding, you know, the situation. I think it's important to note we're brothers, right? So as much as we can have these kind of episodes or escapades where we're kind of doing side quests and missions... Like, we've spent enough time together to actually, as much as we can present something, we actually know. We've, like, bro, I've seen both of you in your best and your worst, you know? I've actually seen both of you at your best or your worst, and I'm sure you've seen the same with me. And you know, there was a time where I was going through my own delusions, and you were both calling me out, like, yeah, as much as you could say this is what it is, we know that you're not living in reality right now, you're in your delusion, because we actually know you. And I think that's something that really stood out in that moment, because it's like, well, if it's one of those three shinobi taboos, I know what it is. Like, I don't need to guess, I already know what it is. And that's because I already know you, and I know that the the trials that you would choose to battle given your circumstances, and the trials that, you know, you maybe just would fall into given your circumstances as well. But yeah, pretty much, yeah, I had already known that that's what you was battling with. I think the only difficult and annoying thing was, again, the communication part, right? If you're going ghost, that's not something that anybody should have to deal with themselves. Especially when it comes to like the realization of it. I had a very brutal conversation with one of my long, long, long time friends not so long ago, maybe the beginning of the year. And it is just an example, right? And he's living in this delusion that nobody knows that he was addicted to this drug, right? And I've just said it straight up, like, yo, you're addicted. You're actually a nitty. Like, you need to go to rehab. And I'm sending him links. And it's like, yeah, it's brutal. But at the same time, I can see those patterns of behavior, and I know what that looks like. And I'm actually only doing this because I love you and I care about you. You know, that person wasn't willing to accept that, but in that moment, then they wanted to communicate that with me. Whereas it was like, based on this situation, it was really difficult to get through to you because you need a support network when it comes to battling anything, any war you go to. You don't, people don't turn up to wars by themselves. You know? But yeah, that was my take, really.
Yeah, well, from the both of you, you sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of what the issue was and what had happened throughout, say, the beginning of this year. I'll say the beginning of this year is when it's really taking a turn for the worst. First introduced to it, living in Spain, actually. I was working night shift for online customer service, like a chat help desk for a major casino in Germany. And you have access to the back office. You can check people's accounts. You would verify registration documents, that kind of thing. So that was the first sort of insight into, oh, these games can be fun. And seeing people 12, 10, well, 15, 20 times a day messaging in at crazy hours of the morning, because it would be like 8 to 8. That was the shift I was working, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Well, yeah, all hours of the night, you would get people messaging in, oh, I've put X amount in my account. Can I have a free bonus? Can I have some free spins on roulette or whatever? And seeing that and thinking in my mind, bloody hell, like, this thing's deep. People can fall in this trap. Didn't think too much of it. Never thought I would see myself in that situation. And then it would be here and there. It would be a football bet here and there, not even thinking, oh, well, I'm going to win this money and make it big. And nothing like that, like you're winning the lottery or something. More so adding a bit of spice to watching an NBA game, a football game. When the sporting side got really bad, this is, say, within the last 10 months, I want to say, maybe a little bit less than that, is when you're betting on Indonesian basketball teams you know nothing about or what the hell is going on. But it's just part of the game, part of the addiction. You want the little wins, the big wins, trying to beat the game at its own game, trying to beat the system, right? So in terms of asking people for money, what I would do is I would get paid my wage. That wage would essentially be spent on gambling, and that'd be playing the games. That'd be a little bit of sports betting here and there. And in almost like a haze. I don't want to say like I wasn't conscious of what I was doing. 100% I was, and I accept, and I'm working through that. But it would be before I know it, 300-400 pounds down, and that's playing, win a little bit, play, lose, win a little bit, lose. But yeah, in the blink of an eye, in the blink of say an hour's time, sometimes even less than that, 300-400 pounds gone, boom. And I'm like, oh crap, I've got this bill to pay, I've got my phone bill, I've got this. So in order to supplement actually paying for the stuff that I needed to pay for, which should have come out of my wage, I would ask people. And then when one person would say, no, I don't have this week, it would be the next person, and the next person, and the next person. And then what would happen is I would have less money to gamble with because I've got to pay this person back this week because they lent me money last week. And I've got to pay this person back and then this person back. So the money I get from my wages, half of it is gone on debts, paying people back. A quarter of it would go back into gambling to see if I can make that money back that I've lent from other people, that I borrowed from other people, sorry. And then the last quarter is like, okay, you kind of need to have the facade that you have money, that you're able to go shopping to Lidl and grab a few bits, pay for lunch at work, all these kind of things. And then that quarter that was for the facade, that portion kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller as I would lend more or borrow more and spend more on gambling. So it spiraled out of control. And one thing that really hit home is when I got a message from you, AJ, you was like, oh man, maybe we should talk. You might have an issue. I don't know what you're doing. Maybe you're gambling or something. And for someone else to, not even someone else, for my brother, you say, oh, you need your brothers, you need your support network. For him to recognize the signs that there was an issue and for that to be made a reality really hit me. I was like, oh God, you're right, I do have an issue. Living with that shame of, oh my God, what are they going to say? Oh my God, I've let them down. We all have these expectations of each other and of ourselves. And essentially that's pressure. So I allowed that pressure to build up. And without communicating to you guys, that just kept building and building and building to the point where my anxiety was peak. My mood was super low. And then to get myself out of that funk, you go back to the thing where you're getting these short bursts of serotonin. Am I using the correct word, Diego? Yeah? The short bursts of, you're like, oh man, this is awesome. I only put in £20 and I got 150 this week or this session that I've played. And it kept going and going and going and asking everyone to supplement this. All my money's gone on gambling, so I need money to live, to supplement that cycle that kept going and going and going. So it really came to a head where my partner stuck it on me. She was like, look, you work in a good wage. I don't know why we're always struggling. I feel like I have to beg you for money. And still, I didn't want to face it. Still hard-headed, blind to the obvious truth that I was running away from facing an issue, dealing with the issue and trying to move forward. So yeah, she's like, show me your bank statement. And I was like, I'm not showing you my bank statement. She's like, okay, well, paraphrasing here, of course, but I'm trying to give you the essence of what happened in that situation. It's like, well, maybe you should go then. Go find somewhere, go get your head right, and then come back and we can talk. In some ways, I feel as though that was to shock me, to think, oh God, I could lose it all. Not to say that the words weren't true or they didn't hold weight, because very quickly, like I was on the brink of losing everything, losing kids, partner, roof over my head, pots of pissing, all of that on the brink. So I was like, okay, I'll go. Sort of calling the bluff almost. But during that time, I was away from the flat for about a week. During that time, we're still messaging. I'm still trying to not find out exactly what the issue is, but me building up the courage to say, okay, this is actually an issue. This is something that I need to face. That I need to not only face and work my way through, I need to let everyone know who I've borrowed off of, who I've tried to scheme out of money, whatever the situation is. Everyone needs to know what's going on. And I need to figure out, really and truly, the root of the issue here. And quite frankly, I need to figure out, is there a way to sort out this anxiety I've been dealing with for the last decade, I would say. The bouts of depression I've been dealing with for the last decade. So it was quite important for me to own up to that and say, okay, I have an issue. I need to put steps in place to figure out how to fix my life, essentially. And I'm on that journey. So I've spoken to parents. I've spoken, I guess, not briefly, but I've given you guys the rundown of where my head was at, say, what, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. Since then, I've visited a GP. I've allowed myself to be quite vulnerable and honest, because if I'm not, then there's no way I'm going to make it out of this. One thing, I'm quite fortunate, I didn't rack up loads of debt, which can happen with gambling or anything like that, where people end up in thousands of pounds of debt. I'm quite fortunate that I didn't. Like, it didn't get to that level, but it got to the level where it is a problem, and I'm working through that currently. So that's the long and short of it. If you need any gaps filling in between, just let me know.
So, I don't know. I guess the main point of what I would want to say as part of this is, it's extremely important to communicate. And the reason I say this, and I kind of want to take it away from your situation, we can definitely go back on that, because I think it's something definitely that is worth us talking through. But I do think the main thing to take away really is the lesson. And I do hear everything that you've said, but I think the main thing is, you know, you about you saying being very vulnerable, like, two things come to mind. Communication, number one. And number two, actually accepting that for yourself, rather than, you know, being vulnerable with yourself, rather than
exactly
trying to be vulnerable with other people. And the reason I say this, bro, and we haven't had this conversation, you probably don't even know, right? Because we've had this disconnect of sorts, right? Yo, I was scammed in January and I was like 6 racks deep, bro. Minus 6K, you know? You see what I mean? And this is something where I was able to communicate this with AJ, but this is after the fact. But in that moment when I was going through, a little small premise is it had positioned itself as a potential job opportunity, which it invited me to... basically gamble, because gambling is a scam. It's exactly the same thing. It's a scam. Gambling is a scam. If you don't know that it's a scam, today's the day I'll tell you that gambling is the same as a scam, because exactly as you're presenting it, it's the same thing. Yo, you put this in, you do these jobs, and we reward you after you've done these jobs with money. And as much as for me, I'd be like, well, I studied computer forensics and security. I'm not going to be one of those guys. I've been around people that have been scammed. I'm not going to be one of those guys. I was putting myself in a false pretense. And I wasn't admitting it to myself. And even Matt, I was speaking with Matt, and Matt's like, he's telling me, bro, this sounds like a scam. This sounds like a scam. This sounds like a scam. It was only when it got to a point where I'm minor, like, okay, I've put that in. Now they're asking me, I have to put in another 10K to get out what I've got, plus whatever I would have made on top, right? In that moment, I had two options. I either continue to lie to myself or I be honest with myself. And I remember I sat there on the bed and I laid down and I'm like, do you know what? I've been scammed and I have asked for money. And do you know what I need to do about it? And whatever I've saved has also gone into this too. So do you know what I need to do about it? I need to accept. And I literally laid there and I said to myself, yo, it's okay. And I felt that rush of emotion and rush of like, it's like pins and needles through your body, bro. I felt that and I'm like, what am I going to do? Bear in mind, I'm doing this and I'm laying in a bed in Brazil. You know? Where for me, I'm like, whatever plan I had planned, I've outplanned myself. So that plan's no longer going to go forward, you know? And I'm only thinking it in the aspect of, I don't have the same responsibilities as you, you know? And I really feel like that's the main thing that is the takeaway. Having that communication network where when you're in something, you can have that honest conversation and people can be honest and tell you, yo, whether you listen to it or not, it will get through eventually. But if you hide from it and you deny the truth to yourself, bro, I would have been way worse. Could have been way worse. You know, and it's not like no small amount of money. And it happens like that. Oh, but there were days where I would put that money and do the job. And then I'm getting money out. And I'm like, yo, I'm getting money out. I need to bring the man them through. I've got the pattern. I've got the hack. I've got the Midas touch. But really and truly, that like, man, I don't know. I've been around a lot of people that have been addicted to gambling, bro. I've been around a lot of people that have been addicted to gambling. I used to see that when I was young and I would go into Aspers in Northampton and I would see whatever footballer guys that I knew that were in there and I would see them go to the ATM and take money out and go to the ATM and take money out to the point where my man would get banned for rigging the games later on in his career. I don't need to name names. We all know who I'm talking about. And if you don't, then it's not hard to find out.
Mm-hmm.
I saw these behaviors. And I know that the key thing for me is the support network. Because if you do not have that support network or if you shut that off, you're going to find yourself in situations very similar, if not worse, you know?
Yeah,
that's why for me, it's just really important that the two takeaways from that is, yo, you should never really be ashamed of anything if you can't, like, you have to accept it yourself. If you can accept it yourself, then you have no need to have shame.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't accept it for yourself, then you've already played yourself a long time ago. You know, you already played yourself a long, long time ago. But yeah, just a little anecdote to say, hey, listen, imagine we had that conversation. If we were in contact, maybe that could have been something that would have given you a perspective to say, yo, bro's in deep. And you didn't even know that. And you was asking for bread, you know, which for me, I was like, he doesn't even know my situation right now. I'm not working. I haven't worked for the last 6-8 months. And I've got this over my head. So it's like, damn, I really need to like pull my finger out somehow. And the only way I can do that, me and Matt having daily calls about how we can like actually fight the actual good fight. Not trying to just find or get lost get lost in the game of chess. It's a game of chess, man. And you're a pawn on the board. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, just a quick segue, and we will come back. Can I ask, why was you hesitant to communicate that with AJ during the time? Why was it after the fact? With me, it makes sense. There was that point of disconnect between us. So I get why you wouldn't have communicated with me, but why AJ after the fact? is that you on your own journey of being vulnerable with yourself?
No, because in that moment, I didn't know where it was or how it was. AJ knew what I had, like, spoken about, and he was like, I don't know if it's legit.
Okay.
I think the words were, I think that sounds like a scam to me, my boy. I'm pretty sure those were the exact
words. That sounds like an AJ line.
But you know what? I'm forever thankful for him saying that, because it helped me in that moment where I had the decision to make. Do I go deeper into this to see if I can really get my money out? Or do I just accept that I rolled the wrong dice. I played the wrong game. I found myself in a position where I shouldn't really have found myself. And those words resonated in my head.
Does
it sound legit, bro? It's not legit. Like, this is what I mean by that support network. It doesn't have to be
every single detail.
I know where I'm at. You've already given me guidance without me even realizing it. And it was so easy, bro. Like, that moment was the easiest decision for me to make. I laid there and I said, nah, I've been scammed. And you know what? I've accepted it. And this can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone.
Mostly, you think the little 4K, 6K is something. We're talking way much more through scams. Yeah? Me, myself, has gambled, has almost got sucked in. It was that guy. Anthony Joshua's fight was the reason why I started to sports bet. It took my £20 to 200 and something pounds. Remember the times when we were going to London? It took my £200 to 5K. Who told me to go and slap the 5K on, bro? I'm going to lose the 5K. Then I started to chase the rabbit, chase the tail, and to chase the dragon. And that's where you mess up. But the only thing, man, I would say, Suhomoso, is if I just gamble, but prioritize, you already know, yeah? As long as you're prioritizing is playing with, you can play with it, because you can hit big sometimes. And it is a nice thing to do, but you should do it and literally have fun, because it is a fun thing. There's a game I go and play, and it rolls the dice in there. You play football and you pick each side and you get back double amount. I went on holiday with gambling 2 years ago. I gambled my way and bought my ticket to America. So there is ups and downs to it, but I never let it stop me to the point where I was dead broke and I couldn't, you know, pay my necessities. That's the only thing I'll say. It's okay to gamble, but just know what your priorities are. You know?
I hear what you're saying. But one thing I would rebuttal that with is some vices aren't for everybody. For me, I'd rather spend my money on something that's more worthwhile rather than... Because gambling is quite a selfish act, I would say. Especially this that we're talking about, say sports betting or gaming or something like that. Yeah, I'd rather, like, how far I got into it, for me now, no, I need to focus on, I'd rather go to the park and spend money on ice cream with the kids or doing something more productive. Because I went so far to that side.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. Like, the key takeaway from what you're saying is, regardless of whatever your vice is, have your priorities in check first before you even think of dabbling into whatever, whether that's gambling, whether that's you like to play video games, so you spend money on video games. Get the house in order first, get your life in order first, and then you can do these extracurricular activities. And that's where my head's at. That's where my focus is right now.
Because if you really deep it, everyone has a vice, whether it's the fact that they keep subscribing on Netflix every month, yeah, or whether they're indulging in drugs. I can't say that person's any wrong from what my vice is. It's all down to the person. My thing is sex. I love masturbation, you see? My thing is, I love women, you know what I mean? So, for me, I may indulge more, maybe time instead of money, into things that maybe I shouldn't, you know? But who's to say that that's any better than someone who has a gambling addiction? You know, it's just about perspective as well.
About perspective and how much it controls your life.
Yes.
Play the game, don't let the game play you.
I could put my hand up. Yo, I've gambled before, bro. I've gambled before. Yeah. You know, I've gambled on Paddy Power. I've been to the casinos. Mm. Like, but for me, it's never been. I've always known that this is a losing game. The house always wins. That's
oh, sugar. Reason, you know. Do you know? Sorry to interrupt you, Mo. The very first time I gambled was on my 18th birthday. I went out. We had a party in some hall in town, a working men's club, if you guys remember, where Mum threw water on somebody for a drink.
Yeah. That was your bad.
Yeah. And so we went out, me, a couple of friends, Foggy Doggy as well. And we ended up in Ashford's. Like you said it, and it's literally triggered that memory. And on arrival, you get a £20. Here's free £20 bet. Whatever, like a ticket almost. It wasn't actually physical money, but you went in like a promotion thing, welcome bonus. So I went in, I think I put £20 on something. I can't remember what game it was. Lost all the money straight away. And I was like, cool, yeah, gambling's not for me. Who would know that after all this time? Yeah, crazy. That memory was locked in the vault.
It can catch...
So you just sparked the memory of when I first gambled. Came back from America, was in Northampton, was in the city centre, was going on lunch because I was working online for this online friendship zone, it was called. Like, I was a moderator. We went out with some white dude who's like, yeah, there's a casino, we should jump in. I was like, nah, don't gamble, mate. He's like, yeah, we'll just go in there. £10 promotion. It's right around the corner from PMT Music.
Yeah,
right. It used to be there. Went inside, put the money in the slot machine, boom, won 200 and something pounds. I came right up out of there, went right into PMT and bought my first audio interface.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, man. I can do this.
And he went home and had a wank.
Yeah.
It never ends well, man.
Nah, the gallum time still.
Nah, it never ends well. I know, AJ, you probably got your piece to say on this as well, but it never ends well, bro. Like,
but again, it also can,
though. No, listen, bro, it never ends well. As much as you can get, bro, I've been on holiday off gambling too. When I was 18 and I went to Cyprus, I slapped on £20 on something and it just came through and I was like, shit, I could buy my ticket now.
Yeah.
But it never ends well. That's a nice rise, but that rise is temporary because the house always wins.
Yeah,
these companies make money for a reason, bro. You know, there's nobody that beats the game. The game is designed in a way for you to feel like you can beat it. But if you check your history, you lost a long time ago. You lost the moment you stepped into it and decided to play the game. It's a rigged game, bro. Cool. And people get sucked into it. Yo, there's no judgment on it. I see it, but at the same time, if you see it, you also have to understand it. And that's why for me now, if I'm ever indulging in anything like that, I'm throwing pennies away.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing in or I'm not slapping it. Like, I would throw pennies away. And I would do it in the sense of, oh, I'm waiting for somebody. Last time I gambled, I was in Colombia. I was waiting for Alpha, our cousin, to come and meet me, right? So rather than stand outside, I walked into a building. It happened to be some sort of a Booker's or whatever. So I sit down and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm sending whatever messages. I had like a I don't know, something that's equivalent to a pound. Equivalent to a pound. Put it in the machine and I was like, meh. It's just to kill time. I'm not expecting to take any money away from this. Because the money that I expect to earn, I expect to earn. I don't expect to play and win. You get me? I expect to earn it. And because I've earned it, I value it more. But anything that comes quickly goes even quicker, bro.
Mm, I hear that.
It goes even quicker.
Something quite poignant that you said is something that Dad said whilst I've been talking to family about it, trying to be honest with myself and honest with who I'm talking to. The house always wins. Something that Dad said. Like, literally, the face you pulled as well, that was Conqueror all over. Bloody hell. Always wins. I was like...
Like, always. Tell me a time where somebody's actually won super duper. gambling and they didn't continue to gamble. You win big, you go back, you lose.
And you lose. Dan Bilzerian.
Again, you go back. You know, it might come in nice again. You might get a nice rise, which could help with a certain thing at a certain time. But if you've positioned yourself in a way where you don't need that, that never becomes a factor where it's a potential.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do things that you want to do, certainty rather than a 20-80 risk, where you're the 20 and they're the 80.
Do you know what it is, bro? It's an illusion, because when you go in. And you, like you said earlier, Sudamoso, you went into a hole. So it comes to a point where what you're winning, you're not even really winning. You're just getting back what you lost. That's the illusion. Real. And then you're always trying to dig yourself back out the hole. And that's where they catch you. I'm guilty of it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it to an extent, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm guilty of it as well. Let me go back, get back that 10 and let me throw in my 20 now. 20 gone. Let me just throw in a little 40. Let me double that and get back the... Nah, G, allow it.
Yeah, it never ends well. People have lost marriages, family. People have even taken their life over these things, you know, like the weight of it. I think that's the thing that people always normally forget, and I get it. Again, I've indulged myself, but I also know when I indulge, and I've always been this way, I'm not expecting anything. If I'm 5 pound up, I'm good. I'm bouncing. The most I'll do is if I win anything, I'll play what I've won and I'll take what I came with. Because I didn't come here to lose. I came here to enjoy the game. Even if that's the rise you want from it. I came here to enjoy the game. I didn't come here to lose. Because I don't gain nothing from losing. But the moment I go in, they gain everything from me losing, you know? But yeah, that's my take on it anyway, man. I think the main thing is it's important to have that support network and to communicate, even when you're doing things that maybe, you know, people will have that strong opinion on. You know, it's not about us judging you, it's about us wanting the best for you, you know, and also kind of giving you that second opinion.
Yeah, no, man.
You know, you're caught in jutsu.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think the key takeaway is to communicate, because that's something that is essential in life, but also as men in particular, for your mental, to be able to be honest with yourself and communicate how you're feeling in a certain situation, so people can be frank with you, so people know what's going on. As opposed to them making theories and it's better or worse in their mind. They just know exactly what's going on. And yeah, that's something that I'm working on. I have done all my life, not been the best communicator of my emotions. And that's something, again, I'm working on. There's support out there for anyone listening. There's support out there, whether that's your close ones, whether that's the extended close ones, whether that's support groups, whether that's, I don't know, an organization, a charity, there's support out there. So you aren't alone in this. Whoever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever your vice, whatever hole you're in, you aren't alone in this. And that's something that's really sort of hit home for me this last week and a bit. Again, going around talking to family, saying, look, this is the issue. This is what's going on. I haven't even done all the talks yet. There's still grand to talk to properly. I spoke to her very, very briefly 2 weeks ago. Very, very briefly. She's like, well, why haven't you been answering my calls? And I was like, look, we'll make some time. We need to talk. So that's another one that's on my list. But no one has demonized me. Yes, there's people who said, basically, what you're doing is stupid. You're throwing money away. Grow up, essentially. Not verbatim, but that's essentially like the overarching theme of what has been said. But the main thing is, all these conversations that I thought prior to me making the decision in my mind, you need to have a conversation with people. I had built it up in my head like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst thing. I'm going to, I don't know, mid-conversation, top myself or something. Created this demon in my mind for it to be the worst thing possible to come clean and be honest. And then I was, and I was like, oh, well, let me just keep doing this and keep showing up for myself, because then that trickles down. Because if I keep showing up for myself, I keep showing up for my family. If I keep showing up for my family, I keep showing up for this. And I keep just building that sense of self-worth. Like, oh, no, you can actually do it. As opposed to it being a spiral of, oh, God. As my Matty Rich was saying, oh, £10. And then you put on £20 and chase the £10. And then put on £40 and chase the £20. So on and so forth. So, yeah, it's scary. It can be hard. But open your mouth and talk to somebody. Because isolating yourself is quite possibly the worst thing you can do in any situation that's detrimental. You might not even see it as detrimental, but isolating yourself is the worst. Oof. Sorry, that was my plea to the masses.
Yes.
Whoever's going through something, open your mouth and talk to somebody about it. Same with you guys, I guess. I'm going to try my best to keep going and being honest with you both. And I hope that you would find it within yourself to love, trust the fact that I'm open to whatever stresses that you're going through as well.
I just want to say one thing, then I'm going to go. I myself have dealt with low mood and anxiety on a bad scale. Yeah? Doctor has, I was signed off like long time, like, and you know, one person that's always been there for me through everything, every single time, there's been a number of times, and I'm here to say, I don't have no problems now, no anxiety, no low mood. Keep your support system. We can call AJ anytime. AJ makes me laugh all the time. Laughter is good for your heart. Companionship's good for your soul. Just remember that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm going to start off by saying, fundamentally, as you've already said, so I'm only reinforcing it, and then you know my opinion. You painted a picture of us in your head, and it wasn't that you were scared to deal with it, your anxiety. For me, that's not what it was. You didn't want to deal with it. Because even after I sent that message to say, hey, are you gambling? Let's talk. You disappeared and you continued to gamble. So, you know, it can be seen as, oh, well, you just ran away to the thing. Nah, you didn't want to deal with the problem then. Mm-hmm. You knew we weren't going to bite your head off or beat you up. You know that. That was never going to be the case. If anything, we would have just tried to support you to figure out what's the best way to help you defeat it. But at that time, you did not want to defeat it. You still wanted to indulge in it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So the picture that you painted of us perhaps was accurate. You knew that we were going to be a loving, supporting family for you. But that's not what you needed at the time. You still wanted to go get that high.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I'll say is the problem I think that you face is twofold. You've developed certain patterns of behavior, and the problem with patterns of behaviors is that once you develop them, they're incredibly difficult to break.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do it, the better you become at them. The first one I'll say is you're very exceptional with your words. The problem with that is if it's not being used for good, obviously being used for bad. So you've developed the skill to be able to run game on people, basically lie, and you're really good at it. You're quite exceptional at it. To the point where I wonder sometimes if you genuinely believe the stuff you're saying. And when you become good at it, a further problem happens where, well, then it becomes easy to rely on. So rather than facing the hard truth, well, it's easier. And the thing about people is a lot of the times we want to choose the easy path because fundamentally, man, it's just easier. It's just easier to choose the easier path. A lot of, you know, there's all sorts of different ways. Work smart, not hard. What's wrong with working hard? What's really wrong with working hard? I don't know, but there's all these other ways of saying you should take the easy path. And a pattern of behavior that you have developed is taking the easier path, especially with your words. So I'm at the position where it's difficult for me to believe anything you say. A second pattern of behavior, and let me make it clear, I'm not trying to get at you. As you imagined us to be, I want you to overcome your challenges and to be the best person you can be. That's all I want for you. But I'm going to identify to you my observations of you. Hopefully, in doing so, you can reflect on that and try to actively work against it. And you will never break that pattern of behavior that you have, but you have to build new systems on top of it that supersede that. The second one is you're too quick to cut people out. Straight isolate yourself. Well, would you mind putting yourself on mute and getting feedback from me?
I think it might be coming from you, AJ.
Thank you.
No, it was Mo. Yeah, go ahead.
You're too quick to cut people off. You've become really good at it. You've made it so, 5 years in Spain maybe, whatever, but you've made it so that you can just cut people off and they'll be trying to call you. I tried calling you, you know, over a dozen times. I don't know how many times Mo did. I would come home and grandma would be like, yo, I've been trying to call Osman, heartbroken. But you're able to go those significant periods of time, having cut people off to go pursue whatever you want to pursue. And even if it is something that you're sad about, you don't want to face it. It's like, fuck it. I'll just cut them off. And when I'm ready, I'll come and say the words that need to be said in order to be able to come back in, because you know we'll accept you back. So that creates a problem where, well, it's hard to now invest in you. You're just going to go ghost again. And at this point, it's difficult for you to say, oh, I won't do that, because the track record shows that's what you do. Now, the difficulties you're going to face are building systems that override that. And the truth is, it ain't nothing Mo, myself, GPs, support groups are going to do. It's going to come within yourself. My advice would be, all the things you think are difficult is what you need to do. Fighting a good fight, all those words. No, it's not a good fight. No, it's a hard fight. All the difficult things you need to do, you need to do. All the hard conversations you need to have them. Reality usually is way less worse than the imagination. You, anxiety, depression. People, you went and got medication for that from the GP. And hey man, some people need that. But GPs are quick to prescribe that stuff. Real quick. Because you're just a number, my G. Really and truly, if they had the time to sit you down and go through with you and talk with you, what they'll tell you to do, spoiler alert, is engage with the world. Why is it that they say, oh, going for walks helps against depression? It's engaging with the world. Do you have any hobbies? Apart from gambling?
Oof, too soon. No. Well, reading is my main hobby. I read every day.
I asked Mo a question a little while ago. I said, yo, because Mo's back on playing basketball. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Yeah.
Mole is quite, he's back on playing basketball. He's getting quite serious about it, and you know, he's enjoying it and whatnot. I said, yo, when you got the ball and you're dribbling it, and there's a guy in front of you, and you go one way and you take the ball, you go, you bounce it around and you break his knees, you get past him, whatever, then you jump and you take that jump shot. Whether you get the ball in the hoop or not, are you sad, upset, depressed, feel anxiety in that moment? I'll ask you the same question.
In that moment, no, because you're so focused on that particular moment. It's not the crushing weight of everything that's happened or the idea of what could happen.
You ain't worried about what could happen. You're engaged in that moment.
Yeah.
Look, the modern world of work, family, it takes it all out on you. You've always been quick to say depression, anxiety. Yeah, these things exist and yeah, they're a problem. But the way you deal with them is the hard way. You engage with the world. All the stuff that you turn away from is what you should turn towards. You should make time for yourself. You ain't got no hobbies, just reading. You just sit there and read. Okay, cool. But what makes you feel exhausted? What makes you think, yo, I really did it that time? Reading something you can do at leisure. I read every day. You need to make time for yourself. For me, Oz, you're too concerned about all these things where you haven't really got any power over, apart from putting your head down and doing your own thing, which will deal with that above stuff, anxiety, depression. All that will be dealt with if you're working down here. But you're up there with those problems. And then you turn to him. And because I don't really believe what you say, it's like, it's just an excuse this nigga's using. But if you come down, do the stuff on yourself. Have time for yourself. For you. Fully for you. Go sweat. Whatever it is. Be with a group of people who don't give a damn about anything else about you apart from what you're bringing to the court at the time or whatever you want to engage with. Man, I do dancing. I do sword fighting, I do gym, I do all sorts of stuff. Why? To keep this sane. I'm not just sitting there saying, oh man, I've got anxiety, I've got depression. Again, I'm not trying to speak bad about it. It is an issue. But the only way you solve those issues is not by indulging up there. It's working down here. So when it comes to you on my side, I'm here for support, I'm here to chat, I'm here for whatever. I've got no animosity to you, but I don't believe you and I'm hesitant to invest in you, and I'm going to watch your actions and continue to support you. Hopefully, God's grace, man, you win your fight, because you've got a hard fight ahead of you, man. You've got a damn hard fight ahead of you. Mo had mentioned people who gamble and stuff, he mentioned suicide. I'll let you know, that's no joke when it comes to gambling at all. It's no joke at all. So unless you beat it, which is really hard to beat, you haven't beaten it yet. You know this.
I'm on that journey.
Unless you beat it, the only thing at the end of that road I mentioned to you before is death. And at this point for me, I'm not seeing you do anything to truly beat it. So you're already dead to me. Your nickname is Zombie-kun. I don't wish that for you, my boy. I'm here to support you. But you gotta do the hard work. You gotta have to do all the hard stuff. All the hard stuff. Hey, here's a little motivator, hopefully. It's totally worth it. You're totally worth it. You're totally worth it. And life is so much more fulfilling. So good.
Agreed.
Adopt the responsibility. All the hard stuff. You need to have a conversation with your woman about how you guys are living. What's the plan? What's your 5-year plan? 10-year plan? You're just living.
My rhetorical portion. Question are you asking?
Rhetorical. I know you ain't got a plan. You want to tell me I'm wrong?
You're wrong. But regardless of what I say, right now, you're not going to believe me. So just stay and watch the actions. I think that's the best thing for you, for us all. But I appreciate the love, the support, and being there for me, man. That means the world to me. I get what you're saying, not to denounce anxiety or debunk it. That's a better word to use. Debunk anxiety and depression. But one of the ways to battle that, and I 100% agree with you, is get your mind active, your body active, keep your head down. So I'll take all of what you've said on board. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I do.
See?
Yeah, exactly. I'm hesitant to say more because it's more of an actions rather than talk. Yeah.
We'll see.
Cool. All right, brothers. A little early. Go ahead.
I was going to just say, that being said, I really just want to hit back on that point of communication is also an action, you know? And I see you doing that. But it's just one part of the puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
It's just one part of the puzzle. You know, it's really, it's funny for me to say, and I've said this to you many times before, bro. You've always been somebody that I've looked up to, you know? Like, always. You know, whether and this is frustrating for me because I see you not value yourself as what you should do. And I see that with a lot of people in life. And you know, that could be based on many different things. You know, whether it's whatever. But the thing for me, and I know that this is something that I always see in people, I see the light, man. I see your talents. I see what you can do. And I think those are the things, that's really where that hard work is, leaning into those things and believing in yourself. You know, it's really easy to say stuff, but do you believe it? It starts there. You have to believe yourself. You know, again, total situation. I myself, you know, when Tony passed, I went through deep depression, bro. I was on medication. And something at the time I didn't communicate. I was a borderline alcoholic. I can put that out there as well. But it's only because I turned and I faced myself. I was drinking vodka every night, straight from the bottle, in a little yellow mug. My friends from uni will probably tell you about yellow cup mo or yellow mug mo, and they'll laugh and joke about it. But it was a serious time for me where I was going through a lot, and I didn't have those tools in myself to be able to understand how to, one, forgive myself, and two, understand that, again, we only have a certain circle of control. And those are the things that we need to focus on. So I agree. Make that time for yourself. Do those hobbies. Reading is great, but also do something that's social and make sure that the social group that you're in isn't guiding you or influencing you towards things that are not going to serve you or serve the things that you believe in, you know? I think that's super important. There's many people where, you know, I see them on badness. When they're on the badness, I just leave them to it, man. I can't engage with that. But when I call and I speak with, you know, the same friendship group that I've had from school, when we chop it up and we're talking about real life grown-up stuff, we can have our laugh and jokes and everything about that as well. But at the same time, you know, we don't judge each other, but we just support each other. And that's what it is, you know? But yeah, that's my piece. I appreciate you being very, very candid and honest with this. And AJ, I also appreciate you being very candid and honest as well. I think honesty is always the best policy, and it's how we move forward. Because it's very easy to just, again, live in that fake delusion. Reality is way better. I love reality. When I'm just real, all those potential problems don't actually exist. It's all fake. Yeah, that's me.
I hear you. Thank you. Wow, it's not the only time we're going to touch on this topic. So Yeah, we'll be there to continue to chop it up about it. All right, guys. As I say, I got an early start tomorrow. I'll catch you guys soon. See you later.
Night.
Peace and love.
In peace.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art.
Walk along my path. Walk along your path like. Walking. Remember the time you fought for me, caught for me, all for me, gorgeously, ready to give you all the keys, all the peas. You see me now maneuver modestly, lawfully, corporately, saw the show, bought the tea, fought the greed. Lessons learned through lost, earned through loyalty, coming from the ground with force and poetry. Didn't fold even when they cornered me, now I'm stone, ain't nothing deforming me. Calm in the storm, no warning me, heat in my chest, no warning me. Sharpened, edged in my form, you're not forging me. Built from a nation where the roots keep calling me. I swear the roots keep calling me, calling me.
The roots keeps calling me, calling me. The roof keeps falling down. The roof keeps falling down. The roots keeps falling down. The roof keeps falling down. The roof keeps falling down. Keeps falling down.